Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Profit by killing off the human race with those killer vaccine shots and everything with all kinds of animal DNA in them and stuff like that and other things that are paralyzing people. And you know, I don't believe in taking these COVID shots. I think it's all a hoax. But the thing is, you know, they're getting rich and they're getting wealthy on it. And but what are they going to do when they stand before the Lord God? Even the first second that they have to go into hell, they're going to wish they could trade all the wealth and all the power that they ever got through their wickedness for getting right with God. But it's going to be too late for them. And I just can't understand how they can be so blind to think anything in this world, even if they got the whole world and all the money in it. What would that be in exchange for their soul? I just can't understand it. But maybe you folks can, but I can't, because there's nothing worth losing your soul for or going through the terrors of hell. And these people were willing to do that instead of coming to Jesus Christ. And but anyway, I believe the rapture of the church is going to happen pretty soon, because the Bible tells us that you know, in Revelation chapter 4, I think it is, it says, God says, come up hither, and that's the rapture. We're out of here. And then in Revelation chapter 6, the Antichrist shows up on his white horse, and he goes from Revelation 6 to Revelation 19, when Jesus Christ comes back with the very church that he raptured out in Revelation 4, and he wipes out the Antichrist and the false prophet right there in the Valley of Armageddon. And after that's all over, Jesus sets up his thousand-year reign here on earth, where he actually reigns from Jerusalem, and you know, and takes control, and we reign with him. But if we knew what we had waiting for us, as far as the glories, if you could take all the love you've ever felt, and you could take all the peace and joy you've ever experienced in your life, and put it all together in a single moment, that single moment wouldn't begin to compare to what you got waiting for you in heaven. Just because the Lord Jesus Christ saved you, just because you came to him and repented one day and got right with him, You got that to look forward to, not because of your good works or church membership or who you know and all that stuff, but because you repented of your sins and came to Jesus. And of all people in this world, you are the winners. You know, I don't care if you're the poorest person financially in this world, and everything goes wrong, but the one thing you did right in your whole life was that you got saved. You received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are of all mankind most blessed. But again, you know, anybody that want traded that off for anything else, they're fools. And they're going to, you know, be the first to admit that once their eyes are finally open. So anyway, my encouragement to you tonight is, and I know I've said, I've got a lot to say. I've said a lot in a short period of time. But this world right now is going to hell in a handbasket. And I just want to make it clear that, you know, I'm all for Trump getting in office. But our help, the Bible doesn't say our help is in any conservative politician, no matter how good he is. Our help is in the Lord. And John 14:6 says, behold, I am the way. Well, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And nobody can be happy in this life or have success unless they get right with God through repentance and faith and receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. And, you know, you're going to die tonight or tomorrow night or next week or next month or next year. Death is going to come. And the thing is, it's not when you die that's important as much as are you ready when you do. Are you ready? If death was to come for you tonight, are you sure that you'd go to heaven? Folks, I know if I dropped dead right now, if I had a massive heart attack right now, I know my soul would be in heaven before my body even hit the floor, because the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And thank God for that. When I joined the Marine Corps back in 66, and down at Jacksonville, North Carolina, which is near Camp Lejeune, I walked into a serviceman center one time, and an old Baptist preacher, I was brought up Lutheran, an old Baptist minister asked me, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? And I said, well, heaven, I hope. And he said, you hope, don't you know? And I said to myself, this guy's got to be nuts. How can you know right now whether you're going to heaven or hell? And he said, if forgetting you're a Lutheran and forgetting I'm a Baptist, if I could take the Bible and show you, would you believe it? And I said, sure. If God says it, you know, I'd be crazy not to believe it. And so he showed me where Jesus said, you got to be born again, John 3:3. And John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And by the way, being born again means you were born the first time physically, or you wouldn't be listening to my voice right now. The second time is spiritual, and that's what happens when you open up the heart of your heart to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and gives you a spiritual birth into the family of God right then and there that nobody, not your worst enemy or anybody, can take away from you. And it's forever. And then John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And, you know, just knowing about it don't save you. You know, even the devil knows Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul. But the devil does not want you to reach out and receive that payment. He wants you to die knowing about it without ever receiving it. The key is to receive it. How do you receive it? Well, first of all, it's a free gift. Jesus did all the work on the cross to save your soul. And right before he died, he said, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for you to go to heaven has been done by Jesus and accepted by God. But whether you go to heaven or not depends on what you do with that finished payment. And that's why it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, and how do you receive Jesus? He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call means to pray. That means, you know, Revelation 3:20, God says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. So with me talking to you right now, and God hearing me talk to you right now, and God looking at your heart right now, he knows everything you've ever done in your life. He's willing to come into your heart, wash away all your sins, and make you a new creature in Christ, and give you eternal life. And all you got to do is yours for the asking. If you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and let him know that, ask him to come into your heart. And I wait to the very end of the program to give the invitation, but I just feel like giving it right now. My job as a preacher is to lead people to Christ. My job as a Christian, and unfortunately most Christians aren't doing it, as to lead people to Christ. And so if you'd like to receive Jesus, I'd be glad to lead you in a simple sinner's prayer. That's what they call asking Jesus in your heart. But even though we'd be praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. If you'd like to do that, let's pray right now, and God will come into your heart if you're sincerely sorry about your sins and want him to save you. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to wash away my sins. And Lord, I here and now ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins and save my soul, because I know you died for me and get to give me eternal life, and I receive you right now as my one and only way to heaven. You're the only one that can save me, Lord, and I thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer or anything like it and meant it, the Bible says you have eternal life. In 1 John 5, 11, 12, and 13, it says, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. How long is eternal? Eternal is forever. Eternal life is heaven. Eternal death or damnation would be hell. He says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. That means that before you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you were like a walking dead man or a walking dead woman, physically alive but spiritually dead. But now you have eternal life if you prayed and asked Jesus in your heart. And finally, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. He said that you may know it. And that word believe on meant more than just believe up here in your head. Like I said, even the devil knows that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul. And he wants you to die and go to hell, accepting the facts without receiving the payment. But when you prayed and asked Jesus come into your heart just now, you received the payment. You received the person and the payment with it. And so he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on. That meant you put your faith in, you trusted as your Savior. The name of the Son of God, why? That you may know that you have eternal life. Know it. Not think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know it. That's 100% sure. How can you know it? Because God made you a promise. And can God lie? No. So if God gave you a promise and you did it, that means he has to keep it or he wouldn't be God. So that day at the No-So Serviceman Center in Jacksonville, North Carolina, outside the Marine Corps base, I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart as my Savior. I think that was back in 1968, and I can't remember the exact date, day and month and everything, but I remember doing that. And I've known ever since that no matter what happens in this old world, I've got eternal life and nobody can take it from me. And I've tried to lead other people to Christ, and you can hand out gospel tracts. And I'll tell you something about gospel tracts, if I may. I heard about a kid that was standing on a corner one time passing out gospel tracts. And there was an older guy kind of watching him for a few minutes and went up to him and said, you know, I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore. And the kid said, I'm sorry to hear that, sir. He said, why don't you do it? And he said, oh, you know, people throw them away. They don't read them. They don't pay much attention to them. And it's a waste of time. And the kid said, well, sir, I'm sorry to hear you say that because I got saved reading a gospel tract. And he said, you did. And the kid said, yeah. And he said, well, that's great. Do you remember who gave it to you? And the kid said, yes, sir, you did. And so when you hand out a gospel tract, I never hand out a gospel tract unless it uses King James Scripture in it and has a plan of salvation written down that the people could pray and ask Jesus come into their heart and save them. And every gospel tract like that you hand out, you might not see that person ever again in this lifetime, but you might see them in heaven someday. And the Lord takes you over and says, hey, remember this person right here? You gave them a gospel track for me to lead them to me in salvation. And they took it home and they read it and they prayed and accepted me as their Savior. And some people might go on to become preachers. You never know. And but the thing is, your labor is not in the vain. And that's one thing I like in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, but as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So whatever you do, whether it's praying, passing out tracts, soul winning, anything, praying for other people, praying for the sick, anything you do in Christ like that, it's not in vain. God sees every little thing you do, every little temptation that you resist, God sees it. As a matter of fact, one time I was asked to preach at a mother-daughter banquet, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to, tell a bunch of mothers and daughters. But when I got there, I had seen these advertisements in these magazines for women where, they make these women, tell these women how they could be out in the business world, feminists and all that, and they could be making $90,000, $100,000 a year being out there in the business world and, you know, forget getting married and having kids. That's for dummies and all that. You could be partying and living it up, and you know, why be home with your hands in the sink and all that, and changing diapers. And that really made my blood boil, because there's one thing I knew, that you know, a Christian woman that's living for the Lord, I don't care if she's washing dishes and changing diapers, and she's not out there in the business world swinging and stuff like that. That woman, of all people, is the richest woman in the world, because what you do for the Lord is forever. But those women, they're partying and everything else, is going to come to naught, and it's not going to mean a thing. And I preached that to, you know, those ladies there that night. I said, ladies, you know, sometimes you'll be at home. I know, you know, you'll be washing a bunch of dirty dishes, and your husband might not be there. He might be at work or doing something else, and you feel like nobody loves you, nobody cares and everything, and the baby's crying, and the diapers need changed, and, you know, the TV and Hollywood and all that stuff, these magazines are telling you that you could, you know, you ought to divorce your husband and go out there and be swingers and all that. That's for suckers, because when every dirty fork you wash, if you do that for the Lord, he's going to reward you. Every diaper you change, and you do that because you God wants you to be there as a good Christian wife for your husband, he's going to reward you. And you might not get a pat on the back from your husband. He might have other things on his mind. You might feel like you're not being appreciated. But let me tell you something. Every temptation that you resist for Jesus Christ, he appreciates it. Do everything as unto him. Even being a good housewife, cooking the meals, every thing you endure as a housewife, do it as unto the Lord. And I tell you what, you'll be so rich that, you know, those women that are out there thinking they're smart because they're swinging in the business world, they're going to feel like the biggest dummies in the world when they have zero to show for their whole lives that mean anything, and probably died lost on top of that. But unfortunately, I know that there's even Christian women that get sucked up in that, you know, get as much out of this world now as you can and everything while you can. And, you know, you get these prosperity preachers out there trying to tell you if you're right with God, you're going to be rolling in the dough and all that. And, you know, it's kind of funny. They tell you to plant a faith seed, but that faith seed they want you to plant is always in their bank account, not yours. You ever notice that? Yeah, plant a faith seed. You don't have no faith. By the way, here's my bank account number. here's my checking account and everything. And the Bible says, be rich toward the Lord. You know, it says, lay up your treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal, and no prosperity preachers can con you out of it either. So I wish I had the phone lines open tonight, but we don't have the phone lines open on Sunday night. But, you know, you can anytime call or write us and everything. And if you got any questions, just give us a word of encouragement. You know, write a letter and say, hey, I heard you on the radio, and what you said was a blessing to my soul. And we try to preach the truth, and then we don't worry about what man thinks. We don't care about, you know, if the government don't like it, that's tough. You know, we're like the Old Testament prophets of old, you know, in the New Testament, apostles and stuff like that. We believe in being faithful to God first. And, if man don't like it, that's tough. You know, we'll tell anybody, any politician that don't like to hear Bible truth to go ahead and take a long walk off a short pier. And, that's what we think of them. And, God comes first. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so get reconciled unto God, and you'll never have a regret about that. There's nobody in heaven right now that ever regretted getting saved. There's some that regret they didn't get saved sooner, but there's none that ever regretted they got saved. And I heard something, by the way, on Santa Claus tonight. And, you know, that's another satanic thing. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but you know, it says that the followers of Santa Claus, they actually say that Santa was from everlasting to everlasting. And there is a famous editorial that says, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, written by Francis P. Church and published in the New York Sun on September 21st, 1897, to 8-year-old Virginia O'Hanton, ends with the following words. Quote, I'm quoting, okay, No, Santa Claus. No, Santa Claus. Thank God he lives, and he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. And this is, something where they were praising Santa Claus. But the Bible says about the Lord, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. And Habakkuk 1:12, art thou not everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. In Psalm 102, verse 24 through 27, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture, thou shalt change them, and they shall... It goes on and on. But let me tell you something. You know, could you imagine them trying to, you know, teaching kids that Santa Claus is forever? And here's a interesting history on Santa and his chimney. It seems the chimney tale came to us via Thor, the mystical god, fire god of lightning. Satan and Thor are symbolized by the lightning bolt. In Luke 10:18, Thor's name means thunder. The Thor story goes like this. Most families in the pre-patriarchal Scandinavian world would have an altar to Thor, their fireplace. Every year on his birthday, December 25th, of course, Thor would come down the chimney to his altar of fire and bring presents to the kiddies. Sound familiar? Oh, yeah. Thor was nicknamed Claus of the Cinders, or Sinterklaas, a.k.a. Santa Claus, because it was believed he would be singed as he went into the fireplace. Thor liked to wear furs in red for fire and white for snow. He is usually pictured with a long white beard. He had a palace in the north. You know, remember that. He had a palace in the north, and he also rode through the sky in a sled pulled by two goats, one named Gnasher and one Crasher. Sound like someone else we've heard of? Another of Thor's nickname was Old Nick. Thor also carried a trident, which was like the pitchfork of Satan. And just a coincidence, huh? Thor, the god of thunder, fire, and lightning, sounds a lot like someone else, like maybe Satan. It's no secret that Thor is also Satan. The rock group Kiss, who dressed as demons from hell, spewed forth fire and blood in their concerts, has a song dedicated to the god of Thor titled God of Thunder. Some of the lyrics is this. I was born on Olympus to my father a son. I was raised by the demons, trained to reign as the one. God of thunder and rock and roll, I gather darkness to please me. And I command you to kneel before the God of thunder and rock and roll. The spell you're under will slowly rob you of your virgin soul. And that's Kiss, God of Thunder. There's also a mythological creature named Samira, coming from the same root word chim as chimney. Samira is a strange creature. It seems Samira, part lion, part goat, and part serpent. That's a strange combo. I wonder where they got that from. Samira breathes fire and lives in the underworld called hell. And then, is not this the carpenter? Mark 6:3. Mark 6:3 tells us the Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter. And then he was, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Mark 6:3. And Satan is no plumber or electrician or blacksmith. Santa is no plumber, electrician, or blacksmith. Santa is a carpenter, too. Who would have ever guessed it? What a coincidence. Oh, yes, remember the god Thor? Another of his symbols, a carpenter's hammer. His house was toward the north. Now, this is something Ezekiel 8:4 and Psalm 48:2. Of course, everyone knows Santa lives at the North Pole. Why the North Pole? Nobody lives at the North Pole. Why did they pick the North Pole? Could it possibly be because someone else lives in the North? Ezekiel 8:14 says, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And Psalm 48, 1 through 2, 1 and 2. Somebody would turn to Psalm 48, 1 and 2. I think we would have it. Let's see. I got a couple Bibles here open, but Psalm 48, 1 and 2. I think I had that written down. Psalm 48. Okay, right here it says, Psalm 48, 1 and 2, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The sides of the north, that's where God lives. He lives in the north. And so, naturally, they got to have Santa Claus coming from the North Pole. And then he says, no Santa Claus, thank God he lives, and he lives forever. That's what they say, 1,000 years from now. And then there's other things, too, a little history of Santa and his chimney is what I read already. But let's see. It's no secret that Thor is also Satan. And Thor is what, you know, is was called Santa Claus by the people in Scandinavia. And he's also, you know, Santa is also a carpenter as well as Jesus. And here's Santa Claus or Kris Kringle. Listen, Kris Kringle, a U.S. name for Santa Claus, derived from the German Christkind, little Christ child. And Santa Claus or Kris Kringle is a counterfeit Christ child. And so his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. It just goes on and on where, and here's, our children are told to, you know, praise Santa and pray to Santa and ask for presents from Santa. And, you know, this should not be. You know, could you imagine the sorrow Jesus Christ would have? He died and shed his blood for us, went through all that pain on the cross for us. And what are Christians doing? They're singing songs to Santa Claus, which is Satan Claus, you know, and doing more talking about Santa than they are about Jesus. And so if you're a Christian and you're singing Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer instead of thanking Jesus Christ for coming into the world to seek and save those who are lost, including you, then something is wrong with your spirituality. You know, it's like singing and praising the devil to celebrate Christ's birthday. And even though Jesus didn't die, wasn't born on December 25th. You know, if you're going to use that as to symbolize his birth, then praise him. Don't be giving praise to the devil or any of his counterfeits. And so, let's see, how much more time do I have? It's 8:55 right now, but. I got about 3 minutes. So the Santa Claus or Kris Kringle is a counterfeit Christ child. And so, you know, I'm asking you people out there, you know, it's just give Jesus all the preeminence in your life and don't be led astray by the devil's counterfeits. And, you know, our kids are told that Father Christmas is God incarnate. And, even the devil, you know, he said, I will be like the Most High. You know, he wants to call himself Father Christmas and call no man your father, the Bible says. And Kris Kringle is German for, like I said, little Christ. And, you know, he's supposed to be omnipotent, which means, you know, like he's everywhere. He knows everything going on. He can go down chimneys all over the world in a minute with presents and gifts for people. Yeah, he's supposed to live forever. He's omniscient, you know, and everything, knows everything. See, the world has given Santa Claus all the attributes of Jesus Christ. I could go on and on and on about it, but I don't have time. And so every time I hear people singing, you know, to Santa Claus or celebrating Santa Claus or telling kids you better be good, you know, what's it do to these kids when their parents tell them there's a Santa Claus? Then the kids find out they were lied to by their parents. Now then down the road, the parents tell them there's a Jesus and there's a Bible and there's a God. Why should the kids believe their parents if they were lied to about Santa Claus? And, you know, this is something for little kids. It's, you know, they think their parents will never lie to them about anything at any time. And then they're made fools of by other kids in school if they believe in Santa Claus. And they wonder why their parents lied to them. And then they hear their parents tell them there's a Jesus and there's a salvation and all this stuff. No wonder these kids find it hard to believe, you know, all over again and trust their parents. And their parents are actually helping the devil ruin their faith in Jesus. And so I just want to leave you with that, you know, what you say to your children means a lot. And these public schools are trying to destroy your kids with lies and indoctrination of all kinds in the first place. Don't add to it with lies about, Santa Claus or any of the other antichrists out there that, trying to counterfeit people away from Jesus. So you've got the plan of salvation. You know what to do. Don't die tonight without Jesus in your heart. And I'm just asking all of you to pray for Doers of the Word Baptist Church and What's Right, What's Left Ministries. And we'll be here for you when you need us. And I'm going to speak a blessing to all the Christians out there right now. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And as always, keep fighting the fight and preaching the word and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is Pastor Hal Larson filling in for Pastor Ernie Sanders tonight. And God bless all of you that name the name of the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.